Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better. I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear. Bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday to you, the 13th of April, 2021. I knew you'd be back.
My mint's alive.
Is it?
Yep.
Good.
Yep. So here I am.
Good.
Woman of my word.
The mint is alive. If you missed yesterday's show, AJ McCord, an Oregon State botanist bro who texted into the show was like, "Like literally, mint is a weed. How are you killing it in your garden?" And it frazzled all of us here.
I don't know what to do.
Mainly you. when you realized.
No, I knew. That's the problem, Dusty. Yeah. I knew it was a weed. I knew there was a reason I started with mint. And yet, killed two or three of them.
All right, well.
But this one is alive. So. Yay.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
Hear the sincerity in your voice.
And then we're going to have, can we have show mojitos when you
when you
harvest the mint? Will can have a virgin mojito.
I think that seems like a good idea.
All right.
I love that.
Mojitos after.
Why don't you do I know I'm obsessed with it because I had it once in my life and I really liked it, a mint julep.
Okay.
Are those hard to make?
I don't know.
I
have never made a mint julep in my life.
Neither have I, but I had it once, and I liked it quite a bit, and I had a really
probably
big one.
You know,
and I liked it the more I drank it.
When we were in college, we had, that's great.
Was there alcohol in it at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, well.
Nah.
We had some great bartenders in college that we would play, bar roulette. Have you ever played that?
No.
Where they have a book of drinks in like alphabetical order and they just thumb through it and you say, stop. And whatever page they stopped on, then they start like wiping their finger up and down the page.
Ooh.
And then boom, you stop on the drink. And we got mint juleps one time popped up. And I went to a Kentucky Derby party where I had one. But that was the first time that I had a mint julep was by mistake. The funny part about that was sometimes they'd stop and then they'd see blend and they'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not using the blender. We're not going to do this.
Not that committed to the
this
game.
We're doing shots. If it's a drink I've always wanted to make, I'll do it. Or if I think it'll be really funny and you may puke, then I'll definitely do it. But it was great. The art of having a great bartender is, I don't think that you can overstate enough. You have a great bartender, you're going to have a fun night.
That's very true.
And it, when I say fun night, that doesn't mean like getting you housed. It's just like if you have a fun bartender, like conversation keeps going.
Yep.
And it can change your entire night dramatically based on who's slanging your drinks for you.
Well, especially depending on the crew that you're with.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're by yourself, then the bartender makes or breaks it. If you're with your crew, then they're, you know, there's some redeeming qualities regardless of the bartender.
I missed him. I miss Amy and Holly and Gary, the Gare Bear.
Oh, not talking about Gary Trent.
No, 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 no. No, Gary Allen. Not the country singer.
Oh.
Yeah, the bar owner.
It's impressive memory.
What bar is that?
The Oak Tree.
The Oak
Down
Tree.
Down in Ashland, yeah.
Now, didn't you have one, too, that was
love
some
them.
Type of... you and I talked about this a while back. Mm-hmm. There was some type of drink. It was either a kamikaze or something where you said that, like, you would go there and have one. It would just be lights out.
Oh, no. Those are usually the AMFs.
That's
it. You'd get one of those.
Yeah.
At Louis or the Vinyl Club. That was game over.
Ew.
That was game over.
Yeah.
No.
The Vinyl
no, no,
Club
no, no.
just sounds dirty.
Yeah, you could reach up and touch the ceilings.
Ew. Oh, sick. I don't like that at all.
Like, the faces you guys are making are the faces we made, too.
Yeah.
We were there.
Hey, you frequented it.
We were there.
Blah.
Oh, man.
Blah.
Look at that hand mark. That's not a hand mark.
Any hoosies. Great bartenders. If you're a bartender out there, I appreciate you, or if
Shout
you ever have been.
Shout out to you.
All right. Yesterday we talked about Yusuf Nurkic. He got butt hurt. He bruised his tailbone. I bruised, literally, same day, bruised my butt. I'm uncomfortable all day long.
It's instant karma because you made fun of it.
I did not.
Little.
No.
Kind of.
How?
Kind of.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, we don't have to go back and check the tape. Our memories are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So wait a minute.
Oh, no, I know what I said. I said he got butt hurt. Because he did. He hurt his butt. He bruised his tailbone.
And now you should have more sympathy for the big fella.
No, at the time I said, yes, that sucks. You can't sit down. It's a miserable injury to have.
I don't remember it that
and
way.
And then
do
I
you?
Did it.
I know.
I just agreed with Will when he said it. It's a, it sucks.
Yeah, it's
not fun.
Sacral contusion.
I'm leaning to my left right now.
Do you want us to go to Rite Aid and get you a hemorrhoid donut?
Ooh, maybe.
It'd be the same thing. It'd
Thank
help
you.
You. You wouldn't have to sit on it.
Thank
I think
you.
I would.
He says with a question mark. Yeah.
I would rank the tailbone injury probably third on the list of injuries that are not serious but cause you insane pain.
Broken
Above that,
rib?
Oh, no, no.
No,
pulled
broken
groin,
rib is worse.
Pulled groin turf toe. Dude, turf toe is insufferable.
But like for a regular human being or just an athlete?
Just regular human being.
No,
people
getting around.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never had turf toe.
Oof.
I've had a bruised tailbone before, and it is
the
worst.
Bad.
Yep.
It's not fun. And it takes forever to heal.
Yeah.
Well, and those are the worst part of those injuries is because you go to a doctor, and they're like, well, I can't do anything for you. Like, you just need to wait this out. Like, that's the pulled groin. That's the turf toe. They just tell you, like, you gotta, sorry.
If you never, if you never fractured or broken a rib?
I never, no.
Yeah.
That's bad too,
that would be really high up on your list.
Because the whole breathing thing, you gotta do it pretty often.
Yeah. And you do it every single time, and it's just like, it's like a little stab happening to you. Just
not,
like a,
not
would that get in the way of me smoking cigs?
Yeah. And sleeping.
Oh,
the whole
right.
breathing thing, like AJ said.
Of course that. Yeah,
it's miserable.
Slight detail.
Miserable. All right.
Oh, we're getting drink recommendations on the text line.
All right.
I'm here for that.
Hmm. Oh. I think P2 Jim just sent us the mint julep recipe. So go ahead and do that. I have no idea what this... I have no idea what that person just texted, but there's a lot of big words in it. All right, so... Yes. On today's program that we have today, Steph Curry, boy, he did something pretty great, didn't he?
You could say that.
Yeah. He passed Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list for the Golden State Warriors. Who's in line to do it next? We'll discuss that. And where does Steph stack up in the list of guys who've changed their sport?
I'm excited.
That's a thought-provoking question.
My brain is a-churning.
Okay. Charles Barkley, he dropped a nugget on the Brockmire podcast, which is, you know who Brockmire is?
Such an evil laugh.
Oh, you need to watch it. We're going to go ahead and during the break, we're going to YouTube some Brockmire because it is hilarious. He went on the Brockmire podcast and he said something that was both great and a little bit head scratching. Some NFL fans are torn about what he had to say. And then is the play-in tournament in the NBA, are they helping or hurting the NBA? Because the Dallas Mavericks sound
upset.
They sound a little dusty and nerk about this. They sound a little butthurt, but in a different way. You know, they don't have a bruise. What's it called?
Tailbone?
Yeah. Bruised tailbone? No. Squishy knee?
Squishy. They don't have squishy butt.
Floppy groin?
A bruised tailbone. No. Their feelings.
Sacral contusion. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Sacral contusions. They don't got those. Their feelings are a little hurt right now. So we'll have all of that to talk about. Where we got to start, though, the injury that could shape the Western Conference standings. Ooh.
Oh, this is
Nelly.
The worst.
It does suck, but it could have some lasting impacts as the season plays out. This is AJ and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we got an injury that may shape the Western Conference as we know it. Last night, the final moments of a loss, the second consecutive loss for the Denver Nuggets. This time to the Golden State Warriors, 116-107. The loss was a lot more for Denver as Jamal Murray in the final minute went down in a heap and started grabbing his left knee. He has been ruled out indefinitely with a torn ACL.
Mm. And you knew as soon as you saw it, it was the pain on his face was just, it was brutal to watch. It was brutal.
It sucks to see like anybody get hurt. But when you have a situation like what the Nuggets are going through right now, mm-hmm. and you have two guys having career years, Nikola Jokic, who's in the MVP conversation, and then Jamal Murray. I mean, those are two, you know, homegrown guys for them that have been outstanding all season long. And for him to go down like that in what was a surge at the end of the year, I mean, I know that they were losing last night and they just blew a double-digit lead to the Celtics before, but you're talking about a team that, where you're looking in the power rankings, you know, last week in the Athletics power rankings, the Nuggets were number one.
Yep.
Because of the way that they've been playing, because they have an MVP front runner in Jokic, because of Jamal Murray and Mike Malone, who's one hell of a coach. They're kind of peaking at the right time and trying to you know, track down the teams ahead of them. Well, now you have two losses in a row and the loss of Jamal Murray. That is huge for the way that the Western Conference could shake out.
It's brutal. And it's first and foremost, you feel absolutely awful for Jamal Murray. The kind of season he was having, averaging 21 points a game, their second leading scorer. The dude, not only was he a huge contributor on the stat sheet, but he's one of the heartbeats of that team. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys who brings the energy, who brings the juice, who brings sort of the pizzazz to the Nuggets team. And to see him go out like that, it's just your least favorite parts of sports are the injuries. And then moving past that, you look at what this means for the Nuggets. For all the reasons I just listed, this is a bigger impact than just what he's doing on the court. Because you think about tearing your ACL, he's not around the team for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not an emotional support. You're not able to be there. You know, you think about what it meant for the Blazers and for the fans to have Yusuf Nurkic walk in that series against the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2019. Jamal Murray is a ways away from that.
Yeah.
And so for this stretch of the regular season where they really need to buckle down, keep fighting, do what they want to do to stay where they are in the Western Conference standings, they're losing their guy.
And this is a team that went is going to go from contender to still a very good team. Let's not act like, you know, without, you know, Jamal Murray, they're void of talent. They still got the MVP front runner. You've got Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., Thrill Barton, who I love. But now you're looking at Campazzo as your point guard. They're going to have to look elsewhere. I mean, whether they go out and they get a guy like an Austin Rivers, who's still a free agent right now. Look, this is a killer for them because of they had not just like, hey, top four seed aspirations. They were looking at Western Conference Finals. Can they get breaks go their right way? Can they gel the right way and make potentially an NBA Finals? Like that is where their mindset was. That's why you go out and you get Aaron Gordon at the trade deadline.
Yep. And you look at who they would have been matched up with if the playoffs started today, which obviously they don't, but they match up well with the Lakers. They're one of the few teams that can have that same big bodied presence against AD and LeBron if both those guys are coming back. And so not only does this shift the standings in the Western Conference, but this could drastically shift how the playoffs shake out in the Western Conference.
That's right. That's right. Because Blazers are 2.5 games back of the Denver Nuggets. Right as it stands right now in the West standings. In the Nuggets sit fourth. The Lakers, we feel like they will be trending back up in the right direction eventually when they get LeBron James back. But the Blazers right now, 2.5 games back, they play the Nuggets twice in this final stretch, including... Isn't it the season finale?
The last game of the season is against the Denver Nuggets.
Holy smokes. And this, that's where you sit there and you look at, what does this mean for the Portland Trail Blazers, right? I mean, selfishly, it sucks for Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there should be a note in all of this that I know that Jamal Murray had sat out 4 previous games because of a knee injury. That was his right knee.
Right.
He tore his left ACL last night. They're calling the not related freak accident. It wasn't even a compensation type deal.
Right.
But if you're sitting there and you're looking at, for Portland's sake, we saw it just in the last game. You know, Damian Lillard hits the deck in a game where you're going, oh no, you know?
Or what about Yusuf Nurkic with his squishy knee? Sit him out against the Pistons.
That's right.
Smart move. And that's one of those things. I mean, hindsight 2020, not that the Nuggets couldn't have come back and won that game, but 50 seconds left. I think they were down by 11 or something like that, 13. I think they were down by a decent amount. It's one of those things where in this season, every game, the schedule is condensed. Your time off is condensed. Your off season was condensed. Every single minute of rest that you can get these guys matters. And so when you look at the Portland Trailblazers and you look at how much Damian Lillard wants to be on the court every single time, there has to be an element for Terry Stotts of looking around the league. There are already more ACL tears in this 2020-2021 season than there have been since 2005-06.
Really?
So since 2005-06, we've averaged about 3 in-season ACL tears. Jamal Murray makes it 4 for this year.
Wow.
4.
I can't believe it wasn't more in like the lockout season.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what I thought it would be the last one. But damn,
well, remember,
05, huh?
that was such a condensed season, but teams knew it. And they were like, we're going to, they really pulled back on a lot of players.
Plus, players had the ability to actually like work out and do summer leagues. I mean, what was the difference about this, right? There was like a whole... I think it was either Giannis or CJ who might have said it when all the shutdowns started. They were like, dude, I don't have a basketball court at my house.
It was CJ.
Like, I can't practice. Like, I can work out, and that's fine, but that's not playing shape.
You literally had guys making videos of themselves building baskets that they bought, like, from Dick's.
Yeah.
Like, they got them sent to their house and were like, at the time that they were building that video, I was building a basketball hoop like at my in-laws' house because they got one as well. It's like, hey, samesies, you know, you guys don't have a basketball hoop either. That's a huge difference. Like, I mean, maybe there's a lot of basketball played, you know, through the bubble to the end of the year. Then you quick to turn around. The guys that were away from it, they didn't have the same opportunities either to get into a facility.
And the Denver Nuggets, one of the last teams in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And so they played much longer than a lot of other teams last year.
Yeah. But Jamal Murray going down, that they're not connected, which, you know, the right knee soreness that had him out for four games, they're saying, no, it wasn't, you know, we can cope with that. But you were talking about in a game where you're, what, they were down like
seven
points because they had to foul after. So they were down seven with a minute to go.
Under a minute? I think it was 50 seconds was when he got hurt.
And you're hoping that, you know, you get that desperation three and things change. Well, boom, he goes down. And how quickly your season can change. Like, I remember, like, I was like, gosh, didn't this happen to the Nuggets a few years back? And so I went back and I looked at the, it was the 2012-2013 Denver Nuggets, who they won 57 games that year. They had, like, hopes of Western Conference Finals. You know, can they get over the hump? Game 76, their second leading scorer, Danilo Gallinari, went down, and they ended up getting bounced in the first round by the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. And who they were playing last night when they lost. And then I went back and I saw George Karl's tweet. He's like, been there. You know, like, that sucks for them. But it's funny how sports work, where it's like, it's almost the same teams it'll happen to as well. Like, here we are, 2012, 2013. They had their eyes set on it. And then, boom, it can go away like that.
Dude, if you remember, that was the jump off.
No, that was when it started.
That was it. That's when it started for the Warriors, because they were kind of thought of as a, like, kitschy team getting into the playoffs. It's like, yeah, they shoot a lot of jump shots and a lot of threes, but, you know, we've seen that before back in 07 with Nelly's Warriors and Baron Davis and Steven Jackson and everything. It's like, nobody took it as legit. And I think Steph Curry was still paired with, oh crap, who was the other guard, Dusty, he was paired with before Clay got there? And then he got traded.
Oh, you're talking about Monte Ellis.
Yeah, Monte Ellis. Yeah. And then I think Monte Ellis got hurt, and then Jerick Jack went over from the Blazers and then made them good. And that's why I still say that was a mistake to trade Jerick Jack, because he played really well in that playoff series.
Such a full circle for Will there. That was good.
Dude, that... I keep track of every Blazer that gets traded, because I'm just like, if they start doing well somewhere else, I'm like, damn it, why? So as you might imagine, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, you're all in on the Raptors now.
Huh? Yes, exactly.
Watching every Raptors game.
Yeah, started a block.
I love you to death. I love you to death. But that is the worst of Blazer fans right there. the you will track every stat, and then when that good game happens...
Right. Right.
You will retweet it with the little eyeball emojis, and it's just like, come on, man. One game.
Dude, you know how stoked I was for Will Barton?
I
was like, yes!
I'm always stoked for Will Barton.
Will the Thrill.
Thrill Barton is one of my favorite Blazers of all time, and that will never change. And now he's got to step up because Jamal Murray's out. Yeah, I said it. You know who one of my other obscure Blazer favorites is?
Luke Babbitt.
Nope.
Oh.
Tracy Murray.
Whoa.
Okay.
You're going to have to date that one for us.
Oh.
Who was Tracy Murray?
What? At a UCLA?
I don't remember.
Oh, man. Mid-90s. Early mid-90s.
Yeah, I remember that one.
At a UCLA. Dang. He wore Air Huaraches. I got myself a pair of the Huaraches because Tracy Murray wore them.
And you claim you're not a sneakerhead.
That's true. All right. Well, let's talk more about Jamal Murray. Torn ACL, done for the year. What does it mean for the Denver Nuggets? Jason Kosmicki, the play-by-play voice of the Nuggets. Kaz will join us after Will with SportsCenter. Well, it was tough to see happen in Denver, or for Denver yesterday, as Jamal Murray went down with a torn ACL in the team's loss to the Warriors. Joining us now to discuss the injury and where the Nuggets head from here is Jason Kosmicki, Nuggets play-by-play man. Kaz, thanks for taking a few minutes for us, man. That's a tough one to see, a guy having a career year go down. What's the sentiment and the feeling with the Nuggets organization right now? Is it's just, what, 12 hours after kind of finding out how this is all going to play out?
Yeah, Dusty, I mean, Nuggets Nation, including myself, man, down in the dumps last night driving home from the game. And, you know, it sucks. And you know what? What's so weird is I think if I remember this right, back in 2013, I kind of had the same feeling because, you know, what are the probabilities of the Nuggets winning an NBA title? I mean, maybe not great, but at least you felt you had a shot. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, with 20 games out, Danilo Gallinari does the exact same thing and blows out his knee. And then last night, you know, same thing. You know, we got 19 games left, and, you know, Jamal Murray does it as well. So, well, you guys in Portland know how injuries go. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's just part of sports, and it is what it is. And you know what? And it's, you know, you go through the seven stages, right? Like disbelief and then acceptance. And then, you know, you go through all that stuff. And now you just got to find a way to win. You got to pick up your pieces and move on, man. I feel horrible for him because he was having such a good year. But at the end of the day, you know, this is what we do around here. You know, we're all in the sports business, and these are the darker days that you get.
And, you know, Jamal Murray, obviously second leading scorer this year, but he wasn't just an impact on the court. From my understanding, this is one of those heartbeat guys of the team. So who are you going to see step up, or who do you expect to step up to fill that role? Because it's not just the points and the rebounds and the assists that need to get filled. It's that emotional leader.
Yeah, AJ, and that will still be there, right? I mean, although he won't be on the floor doing it, he's still a strong voice in the locker room, and, you know, he'll be in all the huddles and all that stuff. Jamal, on the games that he's missed, is still highly, highly involved with the team. So here's the biggest problem. It's like Jamal will, you know, he might give you 1-for-9 or whatever through three quarters of play. But kind of like, to use a term that you guys know, Dame time. You know, when it comes down to crunch time, that guy could blow up for 20 in the fourth quarter and you know, make dang sure you get that win that night. And that is the specialty, the specialness, if that's a word, of great players in the NBA, and that's what they're going to miss severely.
You know, as you look at this roster, I mean, where do they go from here? Do you think that they're going to hit that free agent market where a guy like possibly Austin Rivers is sitting, or do you think that they want to stay with the core that they have, and who steps into that spot?
Well, I mean, you know, so I know we really don't do this in today's NBA, like ones and twos and threes and fours. But the Nuggets did start this year with point guards of Jamal Murray, Facu Campazzo, Monte Morris, and PJ Dozier. So they had four point guards, yet Nikola Jokic is their point guard. So, I mean, you know.
Good problem to have.
I think it's going to be a combination thing. I think the, you know, the 30-year-old rookie out of Argentina, Facu Campazzo, has earned a place, especially on defensive end. He's one of those guys that you hate playing against, but you love him when you're on it. You know, when he's on your team, he's just a pest. He's so annoying, and so he'll still get minutes. And then Monte Morris is, you know, for the listeners that don't know much about him, he played all 4 years at Iowa State. He told me, you know what, playing 4 years in college actually taught me how to win. He's a very good floor general. Almost every year he's in the top three of assist to turnover ratio. So he's a very old school, think Jason Kidd kind of a point guard, where he controls the game. Again, you don't have Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter. But, you know, so they're going to be able to do some patchwork around that. And then you have PJ Dozier who will come in. He's a very long, very tall point guard. But to your point, Dusty, is that, yeah, I've heard that name a lot, Austin Rivers. That one keeps getting brought up to me time and time again. And normally I don't pay attention to rumors, but when I hear it 105 times in 3 days, I guess that puts some stock into it, right?
Look, I'm just happy that you called Campazzo annoying, because look, that's what every team has that. And you have to, the first step is you have to acknowledge that he's annoying to everybody else, but damn, you will defend him to the ends of the earth, because that's what you do with the annoying players.
Well, it's funny because, you know, there are some positives about COVID. You know, we can't just shun this whole thing off. Yeah. There are some positives. Like when we leave the arena, no traffic. Okay, that's a positive.
That is a positive.
And the another one is the effects mics. because there's no crowd, so you can basically listen in to what the players are saying. last night, I think it was in the second or third quarter, Curry was getting annoyed by Campazzo, and he goes, "What are you doing, man? You can't guard me." Such good radio, man. It was clear as day.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like you're expecting mostly the Nuggets to sort of work with what they have, maybe go out and get an Austin Rivers kind of guy. But in the short term, one game ahead of the Lakers, now without Jamal Murray, how do you think this injury impacts the Nuggets' long-term vision of making a Western Conference Finals, of trying to stay up in the Western Conference standings?
Well, AJ, what do we got? We have 54 games down, so 18 more to go, right? Mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to hold it together, you know. So let's just, you know, for the spirit of sports talk radio, let's say they go 54, 18 left. So let's say they go 11-7, right? So that gets them at 45 wins. That should get you home court advantage. I do think with Campazzo on the defensive end and Monte Morris kind of running the show on the offensive end, they'll be able to hold it down. So I still see them obviously in the playoff picture. Now, can they get to the Western Conference Finals without Jamal Murray? I mean, I don't know. Can the Portland Trailblazers get to the Western Conference Finals without C.J. McCollum? Can the Lakers get there without Anthony Davis? You know, I mean, can the Phoenix Suns get there without Chris Paul? I mean, you can go right down the list. I mean, yeah. The obvious answer is probably not. But I think they can hold it down in the meantime. And then you never know, man. You know, yeah. One of these cats, you know, we have a small sample size with Aaron Gordon. What if he steps up his game? You know, I mean – you know, what if P.J. Dozier, you know, starts making shots? I mean, there's a, you know, it's sports, man. There's a lot of things that could or cannot happen, and that's why we play the games.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking with us about where the Nuggets go from here and the Jamal Murray injury. It's a brutal one, tearing the left ACL. Hopefully we can catch up with you soon, because there's two games, Nuggets-Blazers, down this final stretch of the season, huh?
Yeah, you guys call me anytime, man.
Jason Kosmicki, the Nuggets play-by-play man. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
For that fan base, for that team, because if you look at where they were and what he just said, where are the Blazers at if they don't have CJ mm-hmm. in a playoff run?
Yep.
You could tread water, but the playoffs are a different beast. You know, AD and the Lakers or the Suns. You just keep going down. This is brutal. For yes. them.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is they were in, we talk about this too with the Blazers. We all wish the Blazers would push all in, make that move. They did it. The Nuggets did.
And then just like that,
they went and they got Aaron Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
They went and they made a move. They said, you know what? We have a window. We have the next two seasons. Well, guess what? Aaron Gordon's contract expires at the end of next year. The Jamal Murray injury is 9 to 12 months. So if you're looking at a year from now, that window that they said, this is it, boom. It can change so quickly. And they went in, they went for it. Now they didn't, the good news is they didn't have to give up a whole lot. Like they didn't have to mortgage their future on it, because they got a pretty good return for Aaron Gordon, but.
It's just brutal.
It's brutal.
It's just, yeah.
Blazer fans aren't really, aren't feeling too bad though. They're not crying for it. They're like, oh, an injury, a knee injury. Wow, changing the fortunes of your franchise. And I'm glad that, because Mickey Kos was great. He was like, yep. Yeah, you guys know. Like, there's a city that knows. Is this one?
It is.
You know what he said though, that I think Portland desperately needs. One thing that Portland desperately needs, he mentioned in that interview. We'll talk about it next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan. We just talked with Jason Kosmicki, Kaz, the Nuggets play-by-play man. And I love the fact that he did not even, like, bat an eye at it. My goodness, it really... I feel like we needed to use the dump button every time he said his name. But Facu Campazzo... the backup point guard who's now the starting point guard, where he was just like, he admitted, he's like, everybody hates him, but he's our guy, right?
Yep.
You defend that guy. Mm-hmm. The Trailblazers need that person on their team more than anybody else. The pest, like, he mentioned, like, Steph Curry yesterday was sitting there and going, "You can't, what are you doing? Like, you can't guard me. Like, stop trying, bro." And Campazzo didn't care. The Blazers need that guy desperately on this team. A guy who I do not care what, if you score a single point and Campazzo is that guy, where it's like, don't score a point. Be a good defender. Get in the way on defense and stay out of the way on offense. Portland needs that guy desperately, because what does Portland have? They have scores upon scores upon mm-hmm. scores. They need that gnat, that pest that can change the backcourt game by just being a nuisance
yep.
and a pest.
And you know what's interesting? So I know we disagree on this because Gary Trent Jr. statistically is not a great defender. But what I think is that he could have been that guy had that been his role. But that was not the role that he was called upon in Portland as these one of the anchors of scoring in the second unit and then stepping up for CJ McCollum. Because I talked to him in quarantine and he only talked about defense. That was it. He didn't talk about what kind of scorer he wanted to be. He talked about how he wants to be a great defender because he has learned from growing up in the NBA that is the way mm-hmm. to stick around for a long, long time. It's not a lot of glory, but it is a whole lot of value. And Gary Trent Jr. wanted to be that. That's what he worked on during lockdown. And when you think about even going back to the Jazz game last year, Donovan Mitchell saying in post game, we can't let a guy like Gary Trent Jr. punk us. Mm-hmm. Gary Trent Jr. could have been that defender if he had been given that opportunity to say, hey, that is your role, but that's not what Portland could afford when Gary Trent Jr. got on the floor.
Yeah, I think that there's an element too that Gary Trent just went, I don't need to be that guy anymore.
And then all of a sudden Gary Trent Jr. found his shot and he realized,
In the bubble, he's knocking out shots because it looked a heck of a lot different. Like he was active, but not really doing much. They need a Campazzo.
Yep.
Or a Patrick Beverly,
you need a pest.
Well, and right now, just like they are missing an edge. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Period. Like, who is the guy that has an edge outside of Damian Lillard? Who is the guy with edge on this team? That it's like you do not like. Gonna happen.
He just got out of a walking boot.
Yeah, he wore a leather jacket to the game last. Yep. And that's Zach Collins, which people would say fake tough guy. Well, at least he would get in the way and annoying. At least he would be that guy. That's all I'm asking for.
Annoying enough to irritate Klay Thompson.
Yeah, and he'd bow his chest out when something wrong happened. It just seems like when a haymaker's thrown, the Blazers are just like, boom. You know?
Shrug of the shoulders.
Robert Covington has that potential, but we haven't seen that flare out of him. I want to see that. Like, and that's where you go, all right. And a lot of it is like Campazzo is this little guy running around out there. But you know what? If somebody picks on him, you know that somebody's going to step up and defend him.
Jokic is coming right back after him.
Because you have to. And that's why the Campazzo is great. He's not a tough guy. He's a little gnat.
I think Robert Covington's a little too good at scoring to be that. Plus, he's too nice of a guy and he's too personable. And like after hearing him at the All-Star game talk about HBCUs and like to me, that kind of guy has to be almost like slightly insufferable even to your own fan base. Like I think about Denver and I go back even to the Birdman. Dude, the Birdman, Chris Anderson, was straight up that guy. Like you almost felt bad for liking him, but at the same time, he was so good defensively as a fan. You're like, hey, he's going to do his thing. Like you can't tell me you'd go up to a Clipper fan and you'd be like, tell me what you really feel about Patrick Beverly. They'd be like, he's a great defender. That's it.
Like, I mean,
kind of annoying.
Yep.
I felt like we tried to do that with Myers Leonard, but like he wasn't good at anything.
Well, and Zach Collins could be that, but he hasn't been on the court.
Yeah. In his leather jacket.
Right. He's been on the court only in his leather jacket.
He looked BA in that leather jacket, by the way.
The fits are strong.
Yeah.
Fits are strong, but the Blazers need some strength on the court, protecting the rim, getting in people's faces. And I think you're right. I don't know who steps up and is that irritant for the opposing team.
Yeah. You need a guy. You need a guy. Need to find a guy.
Find a guy.
What about Nurk?
See, I was thinking that, but
no,
he's
way nicer than Robert Covington. Yeah.
He is, it's a teddy but bear. I don't think he is on the court as much. I mean, this is
bad
the guy
boys.
Who, there you go. This is the guy who showed up to the Western Conference Finals wearing a shirt that says West Brick. Like, remember?
I forgot
showed
about
up.
That.
Yeah, he showed up in a shirt that had a brick on it.
Yeah.
And then he showed up against the Nuggets with some sort of reference to Serbia and Bosnia to try and get in Jokic's head. I mean, this guy can be that edgy player, but I think coming back from injury, there might be an element of confidence that he needs to regain in himself before he's going to go out there and talk. But that's what we talked about on Sunday, was he talked about his need to be an imposer and to get back to that and stop being a facilitator, be an imposer. So maybe we see Nurk step into that, but somebody has to.
I would just love to have more than, because like there has to be an element of like Nurk being that guy is good, but it has to be somebody that is almost expendable, if that makes sense.
Like, you know, you just need their six fouls.
Kinda. I mean, like because like Draymond Green is a great example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Could the Golden State Warriors still win a championship if he gets kicked out of a game? Yes.
Yes, they could.
Well,
like the value.
Well, not this year.
Well, did he get kicked out of a playoff game and that ultimately lost them a title?
For kicking somebody in the giblets.
Which
right?
kind of throws it into. I mean, it,
but then they have an injury on top of that one, too. Like it was you had an injury. Remember. And then you had that on top of it.
That was
and
pre-KD. I know that.
Yeah. That was when Bogut got hurt.
Yeah.
Their rim protector. So they had nobody in the middle.
Big old Bogut.
But like the two, if Nurkic's going to be that guy, you also have,
if they get Nurkic back.
If Nurkic is going to be that guy, Dame is the other one.
There ain't going to be no buddy-buddy stuff.
You know?
Nurkic!
Okay.
You need to have somebody that, I mean, if we're being honest, is expendable out there that can be that guy.
Yeah, you need somebody who you can get six fouls out of.
In the meantime, we have...
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
What was that in reference to? Just the playoffs?
Enes Kanter?
Yeah, he was just answering a question.
I mean, he just said it.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
I don't know if he said those in succession.
No, that is the soundbite.
Oh, really?
Unedited.
I thought maybe like they asked him about something like an injury, but that's just them. Like, can you just riff on the playoffs for 5 minutes? Boom.
I don't think he gave you 5 minutes, but he gave you a quality 3 seconds there.
Let me tell you about the nipples specifically.
Which I also like. You know, we got nice guys that are easy to root for.
Yep.
No jailblazers.
Nope. And someone on the text line saying... That exact thing. Portland's so done signing that type of guy because they're scared of a jailblazer era again.
Were the jailblazers necessarily a-holes on the court?
I thought
they were. Were they?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because like I know Rashid, but I don't think Rashid was so much part of that.
No. Yeah, they were unlikable. They I think their edge that they had on the floor, which I loved. I love Rashid Wallace.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was everything that happened off the court was heightened by that edge that they played with on the floor. Like Bonzi Wells, he said it several times that it's like, well, like what we did off the floor really isn't that there. A lot of the stuff that they did wasn't really that bad. It was like, like now they're popped for weed a lot. It's legal in here now.
Legal. A lot of places.
Didn't Sean Kemp, because I remember he was kind of part of it, but it was more to the fact that like Sean Kemp got here and then locked himself in his hotel room and gained 30 pounds. That's what I remember what happened with Sean Kemp. And he wouldn't show up for practice.
I mean, that just happens a lot. Like Isaiah Ryder smoking weed in his car.
Yeah, that's right.
Out of a pop can. I believe it was a Mountain Dew can.
What?
Like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And also as an adult, when I think about that, I'm like, are you a millionaire? Like, why are you smoking weed out of a pop can? Don't you own a bong?
I don't know.
Like, these are the questions that haunt you.
Like, well, I mean, really, though. Like, you didn't think to, like, hide a bong in your car and just use that.
That's right. All right. We need it, though. I'm thinking that we need that guy here in Portland.
Maybe we do some homework. Maybe we figure out who that guy is.
It's Campazzo.
Okay, well, you can't snake him from Denver. They just moved him into a starting role.
Ah, good point.
Jeez.
He passed Wilt, and Dame could join him in rarefied air next year. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.